I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. These words would ring true no matter who said them. But this is a quotation from Helen Keller. Born blind, deaf, and unable to speak, she, with the help of Anne Sullivan, found a way out of the darkness into the world around her to become a symbol of courage in the face of overwhelming odds. She devoted her life to helping others. So life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing at all. When we apply this statement to the spiritual life, we might say, the life of faith is inherently a life of risk. In the Bible, the men and women who did great things for God, almost without exception, were risk takers. People who weren't afraid to lay it all on the line for God. Think of these examples. Noah built an ark. Abraham left his home to go to the promised land. Moses led the people of God out of Egypt. David defeated Goliath. And Esther risked everything to save her people. Those who accomplished great things for God weren't content to accept the status quo. They thought that more could be done if only someone would lead the way. And when no one stepped forward, they volunteered. From these and many other stories, we can learn that unless we're willing to take a chance, we may never discover what living by faith is all about. If we have to have all the answers before we make a decision, if we're afraid to take a step unless we know that things will work out to our advantage, faith will always be a mystery to us. Of all the stories in the New Testament that teach this truth, the story of Peter walking on the water is a favorite. Water can be a scary thing. Think of the Japanese tsunami, the tragedy of the Costa Concordia, the wild storms of last winter causing such devastation in places like Somerset. In the ancient world, the sea was associated with the god of chaos. They believe that from the beginning of time, the destructive, unpredictable power of chaos was battling against all that was good and right and orderly, trying to tear it apart. Chaos, blown about by forces greater than you, feeling helpless like a leaf battered about by the wind. We've all looked chaos in the eye at some time or another. A sudden death. A routine trip to the doctor brings a diagnosis that rocks our world. After years of marriage, your spouse suddenly leaves. A friend betrays you. You are made redundant. These are the storms that rage in our lives every day. Chaos is a constant companion in life. How do we rise above it? The disciples in that boat were surrounded by chaos. The storm had lasted all night long, and by the early hours of the morning, they must have been weary, drenched, and chilled to the bone, wondering if they would ever make it to the shore alive. If you've ever been on the sea or a river during a severe storm, then you'll know how frightening water can be. I think I can imagine how they felt. When we were in Ecuador, we found ourselves with 9 others, plus a guide, in a motorized canoe, stuck on a sandbank in the middle of the River Napo, in pitch darkness, with the lightning flashing all around us, and the driving tropical rain beginning to fill the boat despite the tarpaulin. I've never been so afraid in my life. Did I pray hard? And yes, we did eventually make it back to the main riverboat, drenched but safe. Anyway, here are the disciples battling the storm. They look out into this spiritual and physical chaos and see a human form walking right through it. Of course, they're terrified, but Jesus says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Immediately, Peter shouts out over the storm, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus simply says, "Come." From this story, I think we can learn some valuable lessons. Firstly, if Jesus asks you to do it, you can do it. I think this is where we often get into trouble. So many times we have big plans. We think up ideas and strategies and then walk out into the chaos and try to fight against it without asking, "Lord, is this your plan? Or am I just trying to do things in my own power and hoping that you bless my efforts?" I know I'm certainly guilty of this. If it's really God who is leading us, then he is pulling us into his plan and he will keep us afloat. So Peter then steps out of the boat and walks on the water towards Jesus. Another lesson for us here. If we really want to do God's will, we will have to get out of the boat. We can't hide away in our cozy comfort zones. We have to take some scary steps into the chaos, take a few risks. Maybe we have to have a really difficult conversation with somebody. Maybe we have to admit our own sin in the situation and take some responsibility for the chaos. Maybe we have to forgive someone that we don't think deserves it. Maybe we have to cut up our credit cards, sell the house, make some drastic lifestyle changes. Whatever it is, it's totally overwhelming and seemingly impossible, like walking on water. We have to look at Peter and say, "I'll do it. I don't know how this will work. It defies all logic, but if Jesus has told me to do it, then I will step out." Just like Peter, we'll experience supernatural things. God will give us a peace that we didn't think we could have. He'll work in ways that we never thought possible. The storm will still be raging, but we'll be able to stand in it, despite it. Back to the story. So there's Peter defying all logic. He's looking into the eyes of Jesus as chaos swirls around him, and he's amazed. And then he runs into a big but. But when he noticed the strong wind, he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Here's the third lesson. When you focus on the wind and waves, you sink. When Peter is looking at Jesus, everything is wonderful. But when he starts looking around, the reality of what's happening sets in. His focus has shifted. We need to ask ourselves what we spend our time thinking about. When we wake in the morning, does our mind go immediately to all the things that are standing against us that day? The pile of laundry, the angry boss, the impossible deadline, the sadness in the house, the inevitable conflict awaiting us? Or do we focus on the one who has called us to step out in faith and has promised to be with us and support us every step of the way? Do we saturate our minds with scripture and worship music and stand upon the promises of our loving God? As usual, I'm teaching myself some important lessons here. This story can be seen as a picture of the life of faith, or maybe rather of faith mixed with fear and doubt, which so many of us can relate to. Faith has been defined as concentration on Jesus. I find that very helpful because we can all get distracted, especially when the storms of life rage around us. It's not easy to keep our eyes on Jesus in that miserable 4 a.m. slot when the raging storm of fear and anxiety threatens to overwhelm us. This text reminds us that not only does Jesus control the storm, he reveals himself in the midst of the storm. In fact, we could say that our purest vision of Jesus comes when the storms of life threaten to capsize the tiny boat of our faith. What do we do then? How do we rise above the chaos all around? In the words of the hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." So we're called to take a few risks for Jesus. Jesus calls us to find out what he's doing in the world and then fling ourselves wholeheartedly into his cause. Life is short and we're all getting older. In case that seems depressing, I find it useful to remind myself as I approach the end of my seventh decade that how I spend my life really matters because I won't be here forever. The poet C.T. Studd put it this way: "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Are we eager to live until the very last moment, fully invested for Christ and his kingdom, doing everything to advance his cause in the world, taking risks on the basis of kingdom principles? Staying in the boat may just be more comfortable and safe, but that's not what the life of faith is all about. Jesus calls us to find out what he's doing in the world and then fling ourselves wholeheartedly into his cause. In the end, who looks better? Peter who tried and sank, or the other 11 who didn't even try? The 11 played it safe, only Peter took the risk. That's why we're still talking about him after 2,000 years. It's risky walking on water. It's possible that we might sink, but we'll never know until we get out of the boat. Let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be great risk takers for the kingdom of God. Shake us loose from the security of staying in the boat. Take our hand as we walk on the waters of faith, focusing our eyes on you and entering wholeheartedly into the daring adventure of life under your guidance. Amen.